Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When the news breaks on which Major League Baseball greats are headed to the Hall, we'll give it to you on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Is this the year for Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens? By the way, if it's not, they may not ever get into the Hall of Fame, because this is their last year to be voted in by the writers. After this, there'd be a committee, and they're less popular with the former players than they are with the writers, who seem to have grown in interest to include them. But, of course, the rules were changed to make it harder for them to get in. No longer do you get 15 years, you only get 10. So it's kind of now or never time, potentially, for them among some of the other PED-era superstars. Right now, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Let's talk a little football. Why not? We're getting ready for Championship Sunday. And on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Our buddy Benjamin Brown, PFF underscore Ben Brown, joins us right now. Check him out on Twitter. Benjamin, two games this weekend. You got the Bengals and the Chiefs at Arrowhead. You got the Niners, still alive, with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. How could you lose with Jimmy G at quarterback? Heading to L.A. to take on the Rams. You get to watch one. Which one are you watching?
Oh, I'm definitely going. After that Week 17 performance, I'm definitely going Bengals-Chiefs, right? I don't know if it's necessarily going to be, similar shootout vein as it was in Week 17, but that is by far the more entertaining game from my perspective coming up here on Conference Championship Week.
How much did Week 17 and that game matter, do you think, as it pertains to how you're going to view this weekend?
I definitely think there was a recipe for the Cincinnati Bengals to be successful defensively against the Kansas City Chiefs, right? 3 points in the second half for Kansas City. They basically switched their coverage unit entirely around from the first half to the second half, moved basically to a heavy cover three and quarters look, basically took away everything deep in a lot of ways and had a lot of success doing it. So I do think that we're going to see a similar mentality from that Cincinnati Bengals defense. Obviously, Jesse Bates has been playing really well here over the past few games, especially in that Week 17 matchup on through into their playoff stretch here. So taking away the deep shots, not letting anything go, over the top like they did in the first half. I do think it's going to be, some long, sustained drives are needed for Kansas City if they're going to put some points on the board. So I lean maybe a little bit toward the under. I know that's moved basically from 53.5 up to 54.5. But everything that I'm looking at kind of points toward this game maybe playing just a little bit slower pace than what that Week 17 matchup turned out to be.
Ben, looking at this Rams-Niners game, I don't know if this is a hot take. I don't even know what temperature take this is, but it's just a feeling I have, and I want you to tell me that I'm really smart or really stupid. No in-betweens here on this thing. I feel like the Rams now kind of have Odell Beckham up to speed and are using him. Before, when they first got there, I felt like it was just this force feed show and it was a little bit awkward and didn't make a whole lot of sense. Now I think it's in the flow of their offense and they found out what he does well and everybody's comfortable. I think this is a different Rams team even than a few weeks ago when they lost to San Francisco because of that. Hot take, good take, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a good take, right? He obviously fills a void that they were definitely missing with Robert Woods. I do think Van Jefferson has graded out really well from a receiving perspective, but definitely more of the downfield threat. Now they have somebody basically in Cooper Kupp who can kind of win underneath, get that quick separation on some of those pressure situations, blitz-heavy sort of plays, and he's the guy that's kind of winning underneath. And then we're seeing Odell Beckham kind of win along the sidelines, win at that intermediate route, and it's definitely something that they need in that offense. So I'm with you. I do think they showed out quite a bit here, at least from an offensive standpoint, against a really good Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense in the divisional round. And I do think that, weather's not going to play a role for the San Francisco 49ers defense this weekend. So I do think they're going to have some difficulty slowing down this Rams offense. I definitely have, a big part of that is because Odell Beckham Jr. finally is giving them something at that secondary receiver position.
But I feel like the Niners are just an unbelievable pain in the ass to play against. Like my three-year-old, when he's got school, and like we have 20 minutes, you got to get dressed, we got to get your breakfast, got to get out the door. If he decides he's not doing it, we're not doing it. Like no, and I can be like, let's go to the most fun place on the planet and do the most fun thing possible. He's just in a no mode. San Francisco knows what you want them to do; they're just not going to do it. It just feels like there's such a pain to play against with all the misdirection and the running and some of those things. Is that why the Rams have had so much trouble with them?
Yeah, it's exactly it, right? The Rams, obviously, the best defense in the NFL, PFF's grading perspective, but they're built to stop this modern-day offense, right? They're built to stop a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're built to stop a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, Cincinnati Bengals. They're not necessarily built to stop a team like San Francisco, which is really, really motion-heavy, really, really, run-heavy scheme. We basically see, I know this is something that, my boss, Eric Eager, talked about here, as well, something that he's kind of put on my radar. But basically, the Rams disguise their blitz or disguise their coverage at by far the highest rate in the NFL, over 50% of the time. And they can do that against teams that don't have this high motion rate on offense. But the 49ers, conversely, have the highest motion rate pre-snap of any team in the NFL. And what that does is it kind of forces the Rams to showcase what coverage they're going to be in pre-snap before they really want to. And I do think that's been the kind of the Achilles heel when they've matched up against San Francisco, is the fact that, San Francisco's at least able to read the coverage unit that they have pre-snap, putting Jimmy Garoppolo in pretty good situations. And then the motion is obviously confusing some things and opening up some of those running lanes underneath and really making it so that the 49ers are one of the few teams that has, a ton of sustained offensive success against a defense that everyone else classifies as the best in the NFL. So I do think a lot of it is because of that matchup, but I think we're probably going to see, unless Raheem Morris makes this, some significant changes on how they approach this matchup here on Sunday, I do think it's going to be, another difficult, long day for that Rams defense, especially. And I think that's the reason why we can maybe see this one turn into a little bit more of a shootout than what the betting market is currently even projecting right now.
Ben Brown of PFF is with us on Grant and Danny. What type of season did Jimmy Garoppolo have this year, and where do you rank him among starting quarterbacks in this league?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we have him basically right at league average, right? So we would put him at basically the 16th best PFF passing quarterback in the NFL. Was a little bit better from a grading, from an EPA perspective than what he was in grading, but not asked to do a whole lot more than what the typical thing is. Obviously, it's been because of that rushing scheme that the 49ers offense has been so successful. The best run blocking unit in the NFL, the 49ers have. They have, pretty solid pass blocking as well, and they have a really good wide receiver unit. So I think they've exceeded despite, the liability that is Jimmy Garoppolo in some situations, but obviously they've shown that, maybe at least in certain situations, you can potentially win with just a league average quarterback, which is really what he's graded out to be here in 2021.
Ben, when the Chiefs are good, like I think that offense is pretty good against Buffalo this past week. Maybe that's just me. The last three quarters against Pittsburgh. When it's going good, why? And when it's not, because there were times this year where we're doing the hot take talk radio thing. We're like, what's going on with Kansas City? And we have to do that thing where we yell at each other like we're on the First Take or whatever. When it's good, why? When it's bad, why?
Yeah, definitely. I do think when defenses are capable of limiting the downfield threat in that Chiefs offense, we do see, at certain times Patrick Mahomes tries to force things, right? And he tries to, maybe take something that isn't necessarily there. And that's when he kind of maybe got into a little bit of trouble, maybe overcreating in certain situations. But I do think that in the second half of the season, we have seen Andy Reid kind of put in a schematic plan to actually be able to beat some of these too high looks, some of these, quarter looks and all these other deep coverages that we're kind of giving them fits to start the season. So when they're absolutely at their best, they are by far the best team in the NFL. They obviously have, people capable of, winning deep no matter what the coverage actually is. But if Patrick Mahomes is willing to take what's there, take some of these, secondary routes when, the teams have Tyreek Hill double covered, when, Travis Kelce is covered over the middle, those sorts of things, when he's able to take some of those checkdowns, get Jerick McKinnon involved, that's when they actually have been at their best, and that's when they're kind of racking up some of these yards after the catch situations. and being a really efficient offense. I think that that's what the Bengals are definitely going to try and force them to do here on Sunday. And I do think that, you know, finally in the latter half of the season, we've seen them have some success doing that. And I do think that they're probably going to, you know, have some long sustained drives here on Sunday, put up, you know, maybe some points. And I do think that, you know, when the Bengals get into the red zone, conversely, what they did against Tennessee last week basically was kick a number of field goals, right? They're not obviously going to be able to do that against the Kansas City Chiefs team that's putting up a bunch of points on the board. So we'll see if Cincinnati gets a little bit more aggressive in the red zone, but if they don't, I think this maybe could be a long game for Cincinnati finally.
Ben, is Sean Payton hopping because the walls are caving in a bit in New Orleans? His quarterback situation's not good and he's going to be back in the league somewhere else in 3 years? Or does he really want to go do TV for a long time, do you think?
I think he's going to be back on the sidelines here in 2023. It sounds a lot like, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, but it sounds like Dallas, you know, made a run at him in 2019. It sounds, you know, Anthony Davis was apparently the linchpin in that deal toward the end of it. But I don't think we've seen the last of Sean Payton on an NFL sideline. I do think it's probably going to end up being in Dallas next year, especially if they hang on to Mike McCarthy this year and things kind of turn out like they did in 2020, 2021, like they do in 2022. So that, from that perspective, I don't think, you know, the final chapter has been written on Sean Payton. He's been, you know, obviously really good. But yeah, the cap situation maybe isn't as bad as it looks on paper, but the fact that you know, looking down, you know, Jameis Winston is a free agent. You're probably starting Taysom Hill at quarterback, doing all these other things. I mean, the defense can only be so good for so long. So I think he, you know, finally decided to pull the plug at the right time, and I do think we'll probably see him on the sidelines of a different NFL team here as we head into 2023.
Ben, we're here in D.C., as you know, and we do not find ourselves in a very unique position. It's pretty much half the league, it seems, every year, needs a long-term, legit answer at quarterback, and there's always the stopgap. There's always that sort of Case Keenum tier. Who's a sneaky good?
Oh, God. Did you just call it a Case Keenum tier?
That's the tier, man.
That's a worse tier.
That's the tier.
That's the worst tier.
They're always available.
He's an actual backup. Let's call it the Bridgewater
tier. You and I know that, but they don't seem to know right down the street from us.
No, but let's. Oh, you're just saying what they've done here.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize you were talking about our past.
Yeah. Just actual events.
Ahead to the future.
No, I was talking about actual events.
Well, that makes it even worse.
So give me somebody that's sneaky okay. Give me somebody that if you can't sell them on, you can't get a draft pick, you can't get one of the superstars, you know, actual difference, franchise difference makers. Give me somebody that's sneaky all right that you might want a team, I don't know, that's not been very good for 30 years to maybe target.
I mean, I do think it was Teddy Bridgewater last year. I do think he is kind of that litmus test, the guy that can definitely win football games with a good defense and a decent, you know, pass-catching unit. So he's kind of a guy that I'm definitely intrigued with. I would maybe try and pitch you on, you know, Kirk Cousins as a Minnesota Vikings fan, but I think you guys have already been down that road.
Yep.
And have no interest whatsoever in him. But I do think, you know, where they're at in the draft right now, right, 11th overall, very few holes along the Washington football team's, you know, offense or defense line. Obviously, it would be nice to get a secondary receiver in place outside of Terry McLaurin, but they are kind of in this spot to pick a guy like Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral. A little further down, a guy that I actually really like, Sam Howell, had a really good 2020 season from a PFF passing grade perspective. I think he's the guy that could potentially be the answer in Washington, and I don't think, you know, they obviously need to move whatsoever. Maybe he's going to be a little bit overdrafted at 11th overall, so maybe they can even move down a little bit and still get him in the 20th range. But he's a guy that I really like as far as a potential long-term solution at the quarterback position, especially for this Washington offense.
Where'd Cousins end up ranking in the PFF grades this year?
That is a good question, boy. He was 5th overall, basically, right? And, of course, you know, the thing is, you look at the average depth of target, all these other things. What was he actually asked to do? Is he just a stat patter, all these other things? But, yeah, he graded out, you know, pretty well from at least the PFF perspective for what, you know, that Minnesota Vikings offense actually asked him to do in 2021. But the question is, you know, with the contract and everything else, can you build a long-term sustainable winner with him at quarterback? And I think the Vikings definitely answered that question, and it is a resounding no. So
next time I'll argue with you about that, because I think Mike Zimmer had a lot to do with that. But we'll save that for next time.
Next time. Bring me on next time. I'm looking forward to it then, for sure.
So. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you as always, man. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate you, Ben.
Thank you.
Read Ben's work, by the way. Does a really good job. PFF is sharp, and he does a good job on Twitter.
At PFF _ Ben Brown for the old handle for Ben.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.